Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
And Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary
relevance. Hi, I'm Carol the Coach, and I am so happy to be with you. I am hanging out every Monday night after a long day of working with sex addicts and their partners, have a group from 5 to 6:30, and then here I am at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time doing the show, typically interviewing the experts in the field and teaching you a little bit more about sexual addiction. If you're a seasoned person in recovery, you already know what to do, but clearly this is reinforcement that you're doing the right thing. And if you're somebody who's just figuring out what may be part of their problem, well, then hopefully I'm helping you to get to the right people, read the right books, go to the right workshops, and if worse comes to worse, get to the right hospital or treatment center so that you can get the help that you absolutely deserve. You know, so oftentimes, men and women that deal with sexual addiction, they walk around with a cloud of shame over their head. And shame is not a good thing. Shame is that experience that tells you you are a bad person. And although any kind of addiction can produce shame, what I really hope that you feel, don't hold this against me, is that I hope you feel guilt. You know, guilt tells you right from wrong. Guilt helps you to do the right thing. But shame is actually the addict's best friend, because shame will make you feel bad about yourself, and you'll basically say, screw it, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm worth nothing anyway. So obviously, we do not want you to feel any shame. And this show is all about creating health, good mental health, physical health, sexual health, and emotional health. To do that, typically what you need is spiritual help. And that in and of itself is a great thing, because when you have healthy spirituality and you can be authentic and transparent in your spiritual life, whether that be the 12-step group, because obviously 12 steps really relies heavily on your higher power, or if you have a church that gets this and speaks this out to the population and says, hey, we know that this is a problem. You are one blessed individual. Now, I don't know if you're a sex addict listening to the show. If you wonder if you're a sex addict or if you're a partner of a sex addict, they all create so much pain. And, you know, we experience pain on so many levels. Today I just got an email from my sister-in-law, and she said my brother has been fired. And he really got fired because he set some limits and some boundaries because his check kept bouncing. Okay, now, you know, when you get fired, you automatically feel bad. But you may have what we call a reaction formation. You may actually go, you know what, I feel bad, but screw them, they did me wrong. Well, in so many ways, that's the process of an addict. When you're engaged in any kind of drug or alcohol abuse or sexual abuse, it's really easy for you to say, you know what, my wife wasn't understanding enough. My husband wasn't exciting enough. My work was way too stressful. And it's those experiences that are true, but they act as the excuse or the conduit for making bad decisions. So one of the principles that I teach is that you are 100% responsible for your behavior. 100%. And that means that you can't blame anybody else or anything else. You really have to look at your own behavior because it is all about your own choices. And so if you have a question about sexual addiction, or if you just kind of want to mull over some feelings that you've had, I want you to give me a call. And that number is 646-595-3284. Again, that's 646-595-3284, and I will be happy to take your calls. Because I'm here for you. You know, I realize that this is one of those shows that a lot of people feel kind of nervous when they call in. They're afraid that someone's going to hear them. And, of course, I always say, trust me, if somebody's listening to the show, they already have the problem. They're just like you. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com. You can go to my two websites, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach, or you can go to www.carolthecoach.com. Either one of those sites are going to give you some healthy living tips for how to improve your life, how to be more responsible, do that, hey, I take 100% responsibility for my behavior. And when it comes to sexual addiction or dependency, you got to know that you're not stronger than the addict, him or herself. You've got to have a whole committee that you're fighting this battle with. Now, you know, there's been a lot about sexual addiction in the news lately. You know, San Diego Mayor Bob Filner announces his two-week leave of absence for sex addiction therapy. Well, I guarantee you this man is going to a two-week program. San Diego Mayor Bob Filner announced he will take a two-week leave of absence to attend therapy for sex addiction after harassing dozens and dozens of women. By his own admission, Filner seized on the clinical aspects of the diagnosis, explaining that therapeutic counseling would be the first step towards self-improvement. Now, I know there may be people going, yeah, right, sure, what can 2 weeks teach Bob Filner? But I got to tell you that this may be the beginning of the best years of Bob Filner's life. There are two-week intensives that really talk about trauma and sexual addiction and all sorts of things. And SRI offers that. There's lots of different centers that offer 1 and 2 week workshops. The Meadows offers one. I'm sure Keystone does, Capstone does, The Ranch. All these treatment centers offer workshops that at least get the person interested. And oftentimes what they find out is that indeed they do have a problem. Now, I said to a client today, I said, here's what I promise you. She was actually a defense attorney. I said, I promise you I will be on every station this week talking about Anthony Weiner. Now, you might ask me, why would I talk about Anthony Weiner? Well, I guarantee you, even though I don't treat Anthony, this is purely speculative, Anthony has a problem with exhibitionism, and that is a sexual addiction. And I appreciate the fact that he and his wife are staying together and trying to work it out. Absolutely. But one of the things I know is that this man had everything to gain by doing the right thing. And what did he do? There is no doubt in my mind, the addict took over and sabotaged his run for mayor of New York City. And when that kind of thing occurs, we can have absolutely no doubt that the addict has taken over. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of people don't believe it's sexual addiction. They just don't think that it's real. And you know what? I don't have to convince anybody, because every day more and more people walk in my office, pastors, doctors, attorneys, and they go, gosh, this is something that I have promised myself I would quit hundreds and hundreds of times, and I can't. And so I went to this 12-step group, and I asked everybody, who's a good therapist in town? And they said, you. Well, I am a good therapist. I absolutely know that to be true. But you know what makes me a really great sexual addictions therapist? I took the training. I know what to do to get you healthy. And that's why I always say, if you need me to consult with you, I'll be happy to do that. By Skype, by phone, we'll get you the right people in the right area. You know, yes, I charge a fee for that, but come on, you're hurting. You don't know who to talk to. You've gone to your doctor. You've gone to your priest. You've gone to your counselor, and they didn't know what the heck was wrong. They said that it was a matter of willpower, or you just didn't have the discipline, or you were just being a guy, or you were just a woman who needs more love. And I'm here to tell you, it takes an action plan that is far more encompassing than the average counseling. Now, interestingly enough, like I said, there will be a lot of people that fight sexual addiction. They don't believe in it. And my two colleagues, Robert Weiss and Stephanie Carnes, wrote a rebuttal, Why the Media Takes One Bad Study and Distorts a Conclusion for Shock Value. And they said, in a nationally distributed study published last week, a group of researchers argued that what is often termed a sexual addiction could be better understood as a pathological variation of high sexual desire. In other words, these researchers were debunking the sexual addiction terminology and calling it, hey, high sexual desire. After the publication of this article, a multitude of media outlets suggested that the conclusions of this study demonstrate that there is no scientific basis for the diagnosis of sexual addiction. This has occurred despite the study being the first of its kind, riddled with methodological errors, and at best, inconclusive with its findings. Nevertheless, it continues to get a lot of media attention, most likely because it addresses problematic human sexual behavior, which is always, and I mean always, a media attention getter. Now, in this study, researchers monitored the brain activity using an EEG technology of 52 men and women who self-reported as having problems controlling their viewing of sexual images. The researchers then asked these individuals to look at more than 225 still photos, pictures of everything from violence to people skiing to men and women being sexual together. And while the EEG measured their brain activity, participants also completed several, and I mean several, questionnaires about their sexual desire and activity. Essentially, researchers were looking for a correlation between EEG readings and the participant scores on the various questionnaires, thinking that any correlations might shed light on whether problematic porn use is caused by addiction, which could be a neurobiological dysfunction, or was it due to a high libido. Since the study release, critics have cited numerous flaws in it, including concerns that the same sample group differed significantly from treating seeking sex addicts, and that the individual test subjects were not screened for other possible core morbid conditions that could have interfered with the results. Okay, now, let me just help you to understand that a little bit. So, critics have cited that there were lots of flaws because the sample group differed significantly from people who say, I'm a sex addict, and that the individual test subjects were not screened for other conditions that might have interfered with the results. Additionally, there are serious questions about the strategy used to score one of the instruments in the study, which likely invalidated the measure and distorted the statistics. Basically, the researcher's determination of a subject's hypersexuality was primarily based on that individual's responses to questions about having sex with a partner, whereas the brain scans were used to monitor solo sexual activity. Okay. Now, the research team misused the SDI, the Sexual Desire Inventory. Oddly enough, the researchers decided to use only part of this comprehensive questionnaire. Why? Why would they do that? Well, I think they wanted to say there is no such thing as sexual addiction. They didn't say that overtly the issue didn't exist. Instead, they argued that the problem is not an addiction and that conceptualizing it as a high sexual desire would be more accurate. Now, anybody who works with sex addicts know they try over and over and over and over and over to stop. They are well-meaning people that don't know what they need to do to stop the insanity. So, you know, what we need to do, if you feel that you can't stop, if you feel that you have felt remorse and you wondered if you had a sexual compulsion or an impulse control disorder or, you know, problematic sexual behavior, you need to go to somebody who's certified. A certified sexual addictions therapist will help you to figure it out. Now, I know you may be worried. You may say to yourself, oh, my gosh. Of course, anybody who's certified as a sexual addictions therapist is going to see me as having a sexual addiction. Well, I got to tell you, that is not true. I probably see 3 to 4 sexual addicts a day. And along with that, I probably get one to two other intakes that think they have a sexual addiction, and I explain, no, you don't have a sexual addiction. You know, you're in love with love. Or no, you don't have a sexual addiction. You have a problem with fantasy. But that is not a sexual addiction. And so they're always kind of relieved when a certified sexual addictions therapist says, that is not you. You know, yes, you have a problem, but you're not addicted. It is not compulsive enough where you can't stop. It's interfering with your life. It's creating great shame, and you don't know what else to do. Now, if you're listening to the show and you have a question about sexual addiction, I want you to know that you can call 646-595-3284. I'd be happy to take your call. Do it anonymously. You don't have to give your real name. And we can talk about, do you have a sexual addiction? It's kind of like last week's show, where there were men that were interested in other men, but they weren't necessarily gay. As confusing as that is, and I totally get why that would be confusing, there are people that are interested in experiencing men on a sexual level, but they really aren't gay. They're just interested in experiencing it. And that's why Dr. Joe Court did such a good job last week talking about that phenomena. And that can be so helpful to people who go, oh my gosh, am I gay? Now, I've got to tell you that certainly I am a person who I believe that people get very, very confused, and I don't believe that we need to stereotype things, but I do believe that there are predictable behaviors. And, you know, when people come to me, like I had an intake today, and he was a pastor, and he actually had stepped down because he said, I could not live with myself. I couldn't work with people and know that I was not being authentic, that I was being a fake. And that, you know, I had to admire this person so much. Now, the deal was that he did not share with his senior pastor everything that was going on. He just said, you know what, I'm not fit for the job. I have had an experience too much sin. And I don't want to shame the church. And the pastor was fine with that much of an explanation. He didn't need to know the facts. He trusted this guy to know that he was probably not a good choice as a pastor. And at the same time, this is a man who he realized he started out with pornography. And then he went to chat rooms, and then he went to webcams, and then he went to strip joints, and then he actually had sex with some strippers. And after several encounters, he said, I can't take this. I absolutely need to go tell my wife because I will continue to do the same thing over and over again, and I'll get away with it, and I won't get help. And I wanted to share with him the story that I had of my girlfriend. You know, I hang out with a lot of recovering people, and whether they're drug or alcohol addicts, sex addicts, whatever, and she was a bartender. She was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And, you know, her day consisted of, she slept till 4, she got ready for work, she was there at work till 6, she worked till 2, and then she hung out with other servers and bartenders till 3 or 4, and then she headed home, stayed up for a while cleaning the kitchen, doing whatever, and then went to bed and slept till 4. Well, on several different occasions, she had had accidents, close calls, wrecks, and on one occasion, she absolutely hit a viaduct in the city of Indianapolis. She got out of her car and she ran. And she got blocks away, and she was borrowing somebody else's car. And she thought, they will never catch me because I will always say I wasn't there. And then she swears that she heard God saying, Sharon, go back to the scene of the accident. If you don't go back now, you will never get the help you need. And so she turned around. She hitchhiked back. And the cops were already there, you know, figuring out whose car it was. She said, I'm the driver of the car. They immediately arrested her. And as she was being arrested, she thanked God because she knew that if she didn't hit a rock bottom, she would never get sober. And this woman has about 28 years sobriety. You know, is happily married, has 2 children, is an amazing example of what recovery looks like. But again, that phenomena that she experienced was the one that said, go back and face the time. If you face the time, you'll get healthy. And you know, so oftentimes addicts run from the truth. They don't want to face the truth because they know there's hard work ahead. And I really appreciate Sharon. I love that story. I love the fact that she kind of turned herself in and it worked out and she got sober and she's living the life she deserved. And unfortunately, whenever you have an addiction, you don't live the life you deserve. That's my promise to you. And it doesn't matter what kind of addiction you have. Do you know that right now there's a man who sued Apple for not filtering porn on its devices and claims his MacBook led him to a porn addiction that cost him his wife and his kids? Now, I am a person that believes you're 100% responsible for your own behavior, so I do not agree with suing other people, other companies, whatever. But certainly he is making a great point that right now we're in such a technological society and it has too many opportunities to be affordable, accessible, and anonymous. And when you've got affordability, accessibility, and anonymity, that is ripe for addiction. Whether it's sex addiction, whether it's, you know, drug or alcohol addiction. And so what he's really saying to Apple is, hey, Apple, you need to put automatically filters on the phone. And you remember 2 weeks ago I read that the UK is now putting filters on their computers and on their phones because they really feel like this open society of you can look at whatever you want to look at is going to be the demise of society. I happen to agree with that too. I don't know where we start and where we stop, but I, too, agree that the Internet is our best friend and our worst enemy. And so this guy basically says, hey, I'm suing Apple. I'm making them responsible. Now, the feedback on this is that the document is disjointed, repetitious, and primarily devoted to editorializing. The headline of the article, however, was almost too easy to write. The comments submitted by readers universally fall into the personal responsibility camp. Yes, absolutely. I get that. I understand that people are wanting some sense of control. And, you know, they don't want to have all this freedom. And what we know to be true is that oftentimes this accessibility lights up the brain in ways that drive a craving and an urge that is really difficult to curtail. And so clearly it's important to create some sort of filters and accountability on your own phones. Today I was talking to a man that said, hey, I had my best buddy take my internet off my phone. And because he could not control his viewing of the internet. Now, there's this new ensemble film that centers on a group of characters who are all suffering from sex addiction. They meet regularly for support sessions. Each of them struggles with their own personal demons as it affects their personal lives, including their families, their friends, and significant others. It debuts September 20th. And it says, Mark Ruffalo, R-U-F-F-A-L-O, struggles with sex addiction, and first, thanks for sharing trailer. Well, that's something I'm definitely going to check out. Because I got to tell you, the more we see movies, television that talks about sexual addiction, the more we'll understand this. And it obviously, this does not sound like something that is occurring for hype. It's occurring because it's real. And that makes all the difference in the world. So if you have a question and you want to call me, again, my number is 646-595-3284. I welcome your calls because this is Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and it's all about strength, hope, and recovery.
Carol the Coach, sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now, I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is, why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell, so you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? I got an interesting email this week. He says, thank you for taking my email in question. My girlfriend and I listen to you on the radio, and she respects your opinion as I do. So here's the question. I've been separated for 9 months. I'm working on a divorce. Is it okay to date? I believe it is. But she's not comfortable with being around people who know my divorce is not final. Can you help? He kind of answered it when he said, if she's not comfortable, it's not a good gig. And
isn't that the truth? If she's not comfortable, then you got a problem. You know, in a relationship, you often have to compromise and negotiate. Hi, I'm Carol, the coach, and I got to tell you, it is so important to do that process. Now, sometimes that means that he gets his way this time and you get your way next time, or vice versa. You get your way this time and he gets his way next time. But I got to tell you that truly, negotiation and compromise is the dance of a healthy relationship. And when a man or a woman says, I am not comfortable with something, that's a deal breaker. There's no reason to talk somebody into that. And oftentimes with sexual addiction, there is that issue. You know, there are partners that want to swing. They want to engage in a threesome. They want to engage in group sex. Never, if you're somebody who believes that to be a wrong choice for you, whether it be moral or ethical or psychological, then stand by your word. That's being true and authentic. And that's, you know, a basic principle that you need to follow. That allows you to be assertive. And when you are assertive, when you're clear and direct about how you believe, what you think, and what you feel, oh, I cannot highlight enough how important that is to your sense of self-esteem. You know, that's what we teach in group work. When I work with addicts in group work, it's all about three things. It's all about them being able to identify their primary feeling. You know, there are five primary feelings that I ask people to stay attuned to. And they are anger, sadness, loneliness, fear, and happiness. And so a typical check-in for a person in individual or group therapy is, hey, how do you feel right now? What was your week like? And what do you want to work on? So that we have some structure of how to orchestrate the session and how to organize the person's life. Now, I'm a big believer that when you're dealing with addiction, group work really helps to reap fast therapeutic benefits. That's why I advocate for 12-step work. And for many of you that may be listening in for the very first time today, you may not know that there are recovery groups that are 12-step in nature available to you or close to you in every state in the United States. Now, because this show also meets the needs of global society, I have listeners from England and Australia and New Zealand, South America. You know, there are CSATs, Certified Sexual Addiction Therapists, and 12-step groups in your state, your colony, your country to. However, if there isn't, you can always get to a telemeeting via your telephone every day of the week. So what you got to put in is SA or SAA telemeetings globally. And that will kick out what meetings are available for you to begin to get the help you need from a group. Because I've got to tell you, I absolutely adore running groups. Part of it is laziness. I mean, I do the work, but really, my clients do the work. And, you know, the interesting thing about working in a group is that when one person does the work, all others do the work too. And in group, not only does a therapist hold each member accountable, but so do all the other group members. And they do that so well. They do it with love and compassion. They get it. They've been there. They've done that. So they were really able to hone in on, hey, I've heard you just make the statement that you don't feel talking to your wife about these issues is important. But I got to tell you, if you're not authentic, if you don't share what's really going on in your marriage, you're not going to have a healthy marriage. So they say that from experience. Let's face it, when you have a group and you've got members that have been in there for a longer period of time, they're great role models. And they can spot things a mile away because they've been there and they've done that. Now, my groups happen to be 15 weeks in length. And then we take a 2 or 3 week break and we graduate members and we include new members. And boy, that is a fabulous experience because I've got to tell you, there's nothing nicer than combining members, like just today, I had a client in the group say that he had slipped again this week. He had 17 weeks sobriety, and he had slipped. And prior to his last slip, he had had almost 2 years sobriety, so he was really down on himself, and you know he couldn't accept the fact that there were some positives in his slip. You know, the fact that he didn't slip totally. He actually went to a specific place, stalked out the people there, fantasized about what it would be like to be with them, but did not engage in any sexual activity. Well, that was definitely a slip. That was in his inner circle. And what we talk about is the outer, the middle, and the inner circle behavior. The inner circle behavior is what you absolutely consider to be sexual addiction. So the bottom line is, yes, he slipped. He activated sexual addiction. But what the group wanted to remind him of is that even in his activation, he had still made some good choices. He had not engaged in any sexual activity. He had pulled himself out of the situation before doing that. Now, he, being an excellent client, said, you know what, you guys, what I did was totally wrong, and I don't want to get any credit for what I did. And they were like saying, well, you do deserve a little credit because you stopped yourself. And then the veterans of the group said, oh, yeah, we've dealt with this before. Anthony is in no way going to take credit for making a healthy decision amongst the chaos and the drama. And everybody laughed. And Anthony said to himself and out loud, yeah, they always are wanting me to feel good about my decisions, but what I did was really dangerous. Well, we all agreed what he did was very dangerous. to put himself in a situation where he was minutes away from, inches away from acting out was really slippery slope. And, you know, today we thank his higher power for helping guide him. He's afraid that if he gets too much credit for that, it will, on some level, give him permission to do it again. That's certainly not what we're doing. But when we have seasoned group members who have seen this pattern, it's always nice that they can point out the pattern to that person and help them to get healthy. Now, you know, whenever you're dealing with a group, you never really want it to be bigger than 10 group members. And I never want it to be smaller than an hour and a half. It takes that long to at least get into one person's life, if not three or four. And the only requirement for my group is that they 100% be committed to recovery. That doesn't mean they have to be perfect, but it does mean that they have to want recovery and they have to want it bad. Because if I've got somebody in there that's going back and forth and not really working on recovery, wow, they're doing more of the same. And that's what they're doing outside of the group. And so I want somebody who is intensely activated in improving their life. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, Carol, how safe is this group if you're already talking about them tonight? Well, you know what? You're right. I definitely talk about my group without giving names and without outing them. I want you all to know how important group therapy is. I've certainly changed the names of the people. Anthony is not his real name. Because I want their anonymity to stay solid, but I also want you to know what's out there for you. You know, and I do want you to feel safe by being in a group. I want you to be able to disclose about yourself and set healthy boundaries and do some good, intense emotional work. And I want you to depend on each other so that I'm not working with you in a vacuum. It's not just about me. It's also about what you can do in the course of a good therapy session. Now, what we always do at the beginning of group is we make sure that people don't disclose too much. So it's really important to do exercises that help them to do, you know, as a recovering addict I am, as a recovering addict I'm not, and as a recovering addict I want to be. You know, just think about yourself for a minute. I want you to think, as an addict, what words would describe you? Okay? As an addict, I am. I am a liar. I am deceitful. I am manipulative. I am not transparent. I am a cheat. And then, as a sexual addict, I am not. Maybe you would say, well, you know, as a sex addict, I am not transparent. I am not a healthy partner. I am not happy. Then the third thing I ask is, as a recovering addict, I want to be. I want to be genuine. I want to like myself. I want to be an excellent partner. And when we talk about those kind of goals, then we can clearly thread them through and see what's the difference between an addict versus a man. Now, Patrick Carnes developed this whole recovery start focus method. You know, he's the guru of sexual addiction, and he really wanted addicts to have a recovery methodology to help them get healthy. And it's been amazing because he has called it his task recovery kit. He believes that you have to follow certain tasks. And he's a big believer in, you know, the first task being breaking through the denial. And what I mean by that is that when you break through the denial of sexual acting out, typically what that means is that a crisis has occurred that in so many ways parallels some action that needs to be taken. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that, you know, oftentimes what gets somebody into treatment is a crisis. And they don't want the crisis, but they know that they need the crisis to get healthy. It's kind of like my friend, Sharon, who said, I need to go back to the scene of the accident because if I don't, I'm never going to get healthy. It was like her higher power or her intuition saying, get yourself healthy. So what addicts need to do at the beginning of their recovery is break through their own denial. You might need to create a problem list or a secret list. You might need to discuss your excuses, create a consequence inventory, make a list of people you've hurt. Whatever these lists are that will help break through the denial to say, hey, this is a huge problem. This just isn't you making bad decisions. This is absolutely 100% such a grave problem that you have to work through this. You have to get some help. And then people may, at that point, be willing to go to a 12-step meeting, seek individual counseling, find a sponsor, or maybe it's having a sponsor, individual therapy, and some group therapy that helps them to be able to make the problem list, the secret list, the excuses list, whatever. But whatever that is, you break through denial. And that is the first step to getting healthy. That's always, always, always a good thing. Now, I always say, ask yourself, if you were in a group of safe people, what's one thing you would tell them? You know, what you don't know about me and my addiction is, what would you say? You know, would you tell them of an experience that you're really, really ashamed of? Would you talk about the hurt and the pain you've caused somebody else? Would you talk about exploiting somebody's boundaries? What would you do? And that also can help you break the denial. So, I really highly recommend, if you're somebody who thinks that you have a sexual addiction, I want you to get out or get out from the library or buy the book Out of the Shadows or the workbook Facing the Shadows by Patrick Carnes. Today I had a partner that called and said, what is the best book on help for partners? And I said, it by all means, it's Mending the Shattered Heart. That is truly the best book that you can get by Stephanie Carnes on dealing with partners. But there are other things that you have to do. And if you keep listening to the show, I'm going to keep guiding you in that direction. Because I'm going to want you to do your work. I'm going to want you to find a CSAT, a certified sexual addictions therapist. You can go to www.sexhelp.com to get that information. I'm going to want you to look up the 12-step meetings for sexual addiction, and they fall under the SA heading or the SAA heading, and then your city and state or your city and country. I'm going to want you to get a sponsor, because you need somebody that you can really relate to, who can guide you through the process, that you can trust and have a relationship with for a long, long time. And I'm going to want you to begin to find safe people to open up to and stop this isolation forever. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about intervention. You know, how can you help somebody that you believe has a sexual addiction? And we're going to go back to some drug and alcohol experts in the field of intervention, and we're going to talk about what is that really like. And we're going to be talking to women and men who have written books on lots and lots of recovery tools. We're going to be talking with Michael Dinan. And Michael Dinan he's written The Gift of Fulfillment, Living the Principles of Healthy Recovery. He's been in recovery for about 20 years. And he is a certified addiction counselor. He's been in long-term recovery, and he believes that his book is a clear-cut plan for living a life based on universal spiritual principles. We're going to be talking to a psychiatrist who does somatic experience and finding out, you know, you've heard me say, if you experience trauma, then clearly you might want to look into eye movement desensitization reprocessing, EMDR, or somatic experience reprocessing. They do it in many of the major hospitals. So you're going to be finding out some unusual tools that people are utilizing to get healthy and working towards the goal of recovery. So as I say at the end of every show, that there will only be one of you at all times, and I fearlessly want you to have the courage to be yourself. At the same time, it's all about self-improvement and working through the issues. So I'd like for you to be authentic, genuine, and talk with somebody who understands. If you can't figure that out, then you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com, or you can look at my website, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach or carolthecoach.com, and find out lots of helpful information on how to cope, how to understand the illness of sexual addiction, and how to break through denial. You have a great week, and I will see you next week, same time, same place, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, for more Sex Help with Carol the Coach. Have a great week.